Welcome to Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We're going to be doing things a little bit different, largely because I didn't have time to make it back to the studio after returning back from WWDC in the US. And of course, the conversation this week or tonight will still be on technology, largely because we know that 5G is still being rolled out in Malaysia. But 4G, including the Jendela program, is still well and truly running right now. However, there's a conversation whether or not the 5G and 4G running simultaneously may cause network interference, may diminish current performance for general consumers like people, you and me, and may impact on how we roll out 5G outright. If you need a little bit of context, in Malaysia, 5G is still currently being rolled out by DNB, or Digital National Berhad, but there has been continuous conversation between the MNOs, particularly the four MNOs, Maxis, Celcom, Digi, as well as U-Mobile, in terms of how they're going to take the shareholding structure moving forward. The Minister of Communications said that the conversations need to be concluded by 30th June. Celcom, in particular, through their parent company, Axiata, has committed to saying that the 30th June deadline is going to be done. And while that is in the conversation, we need to understand how consumers like you and me are going to be impacted with 5G and 4G simultaneously running simultaneously moving forward. This is why we have Comscore, a company that is quite a market leader in terms of networking technology, sharing with us some of their views. Dr. Albert Tukan, the Senior Vice President, Service Provider of Asia-Pac, Europe, Middle East and Africa of Comscore, joins us this evening. Dr. Albert, let's talk a little bit more about how Malaysia can unleash our digital potential with today's 4G and tomorrow's 5G networks. How do you think we can leverage the internet to develop Malaysia's exponential growth and try to, you know, look at how other areas of improvements like metaverse powered economies can be generated? Dr. Alper.
Ibrahim, first of all, thanks a lot for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. So first of all, if I may, I would like to start by making an observation that 4G, 5G, I would add fiber optic infrastructure as well to that, are all means to an end. They're all means to an end. And what's that end? For me, that end really in the current decade is enabling the new era of hyperconnectivity. This is a new mode of connectivity where us as human beings, as well as systems and machines developed by us, are connected, real-time exchanging information, making decisions based on the best available information in order to deliver desirable and valuable outcomes. I think this is what the 21st century will be about, at least the next decade will be about. And basically, what this means for us is improved and equitable access to a lot of things. It's improved and equitable access to opportunity, economic opportunity, financial opportunity, but it also improved access to education, which I'm very passionate about, healthcare, when we experienced it in pandemic, how important it is that access is, personal development in general, and overall competitiveness. We can compare it, in my opinion, with what the railways and the roads and the highways meant in the 19th century and early 20th century. How transformative those developments have been in terms of access, we can all think about. And this new era of hyperconnectivity will be as transformative. I want to touch a couple of points. You asked me about unlocking the potential of Malaysia with the digitization process and also in view of metaverse, right? I want to touch a couple of angles related to that. First of all, I'll start with education. Maybe that's not the first area that comes to mind when we talk about metaverse, but I think it's quite important and quite revolutionary if we can leverage it in the right way. So today, thanks to internet, anyone, you and I, we can access to the lectures and the courses that are being delivered in the top universities. We can access them, a course on artificial intelligence in Stanford, in MIT, and we can listen to them. And also remote education is also possible in some ways. But, you know, it's not like the real classroom experience. It's not like having real-time access to the teachers. It's like having real-time access to the laboratories. It's like real-time access to all the infrastructure that you would have in a traditional education system. Imagine having real-world-like experience, but in a distributed manner. And imagine anyone in any part of the world having access to the best education and information available through a metaverse-enabled education capability. That's quite transformative. That's quite fundamental. And I think this is going to be part of the metaverse in innovations and will be quite important. The other angle is clearly manufacturing that will be affected by this new era of hyperconnectivity. And I think it's important for Malaysia, given how manufacturing is important for Malaysia. We are going to an era of smart factories where machines use data real time in a low latency, hyperconnected environment. A lot of the processes are being automated. A lot of the mission critical work, dangerous work, health and safety risk creating works will be done by machines and automated systems. And information will be used real time in order to make the most precise decisions in the most effective manner. So in the new era, in order to remain competitive as a manufacturing industry, we must have these hyper-connected capabilities, these automation capabilities. So if you're talking about a Malaysia that will be important, competitive in the manufacturing industry in the future, adapting and embracing this new era of hyper-connectivity and everything that goes with it, including the 5G, including the advanced Wi-Fi capabilities, including the extended fiberization that's required by it, will be fundamental to it. I mean, I can go on, Ibrahim, on a number of other areas in this.
But please, Dr. Alper, go on.
So e-commerce, for example, right? So already e-commerce has enabled producers from all over the world to make their products, to make their crafts available to the globe. I certainly see an opportunity to make a step change in terms of our capabilities with the metaverse enhanced e-commerce. So imagine that the craftsmen and producers in Malaysia, whether they are in the agriculture, whether in any crafts and any form of trades, can have direct access to their consumers with visually enhanced capabilities of the metaverse in order to expand their customer base, in order to expand their ability to profit from it, eliminating a lot of intermediaries from the value chain. That's a massive opportunity for commerce and commercial growth. The other area is finance. I mean, obviously, Malaysia is very prominent in the area of finance. And I'm observing that Malaysia has embraced the crypto and blockchain. And we should not think about developments on that domain isolated from what we're talking about here, right? Hyperconnectivity. Because basically, the way I see it, blockchain and crypto is extension of internet to the domain of value. We're talking about an internet of value on that domain. So in an area where we have a lot of economic activity in metaverse, it will create its own internet of value enabled by blockchain and the related technologies. So if we want to be competitive on that emerging and expanding area and domain, we need to be part of it. Of course, we need to have the right regulations around it. And it's far from being obvious what's the best way to regulate those areas. But it is a big area of growth, and it will be very prominent. And competitiveness will require being intentional, having strategic plans, and being supportive on those domains as well. I'll give you an example from my own country. I'm Turkish, Ibrahim, and I know that some of the Turkish content have been embraced in different parts of the world, including Malaysia. One of the domains that developers in Turkey, software developers in Turkey have been active is gaming industry. And they've been developing a lot of games. And we always looked at it as an interesting, vibrant domain. But with the development of momentum around further levels of virtual reality, augmented reality, gamification will be very important. And I'm observing that small companies, startups, which have started their business only a couple of years ago with a small number of software developers, game developers, have reached unicorn status. We have seen companies reaching multiple billions of valuation on the gaming domain. So this is a good example how emerging economies can take bigger piece from the global pie by adapting the development that will be enabled by hyper-connectivity. In a nutshell, Ibrahim, I don't see any domain that's not going to be transformed by what's coming our way, right? In every century, you get three or four innovations that are truly changing the ways people live, that truly unlock very significant economic potential. And in the 21st century, this new era of hyperconnectivity and everything that will enable it will be one of those defining features. And how prominent we will become as part of it, and how quickly we adapt, and how active we become as a player in that domain, will, to a large extent, in my view, define how competitive we will be as individuals, but also how competitive we will be as nations. I applaud Malaysia government for adapting a memorandum of understanding very recently, I believe, to build a metaverse platform, a Web 3.0 platform. I think that's a very, very visionary, proactive move on the part of the Malaysia government. So it's a great first step. There's a lot to be done. It is the future is not so certain. So it requires all the stakeholders to come together and work together in order to unlock the enormous potential this new era of hyper connectivity represents for Malaysia and for the Malaysians.
Because of this, I just want to learn more about some of the risks that lie ahead. I'm not too sure if you follow the kind of conversations that is currently happening in Malaysia. There's been some friction between DNB and the MNOs. Yeah, of course, a lot of parties are still ironing out their issues. And I'm pretty sure a result that would benefit the people would be achieved. But until then, how do you think a country like Malaysia can move ahead to roll out these kind of positives in trying to get the best out of network technology?
So, Ibrahim, you cannot do any of this without having a high-performing network infrastructure. We need that. We will need the 5G. We will also need a very robust fiber network that also go often unnoticed, right? Without having a very robust fiber infrastructure, you cannot have a high-performing 5G network as well. I'm familiar with the discussions going on in Malaysia. 5G and the era of hyperconnectivity requires a lot of investment. These are CapEx intensive, capital expenditure intensive areas. In order for these investments to take place, a model needs to be found where all stakeholders feel comfortable. And I'm sure this will be found in Malaysia. There is no one formula, a success formula that is universally applicable. Different countries have approached these type of large in investments in different ways. I think we will see in the 5G and also 6G era much more government involvement than we have seen in the past, because I think the nations, governments are realizing that this is strategic for their long-term competitiveness. So they would like to subsidize, they would like to support these capabilities are implemented in their countries sooner rather than later. And Malaysia government, as far as I can see, is also adopting that approach. The key point for me is that a model to be found as quickly as possible that that brings together all the stakeholders, service providers needs to feel good as well in order for them to invest, to participate in the model. And an ambitious strategy is implemented and executed. There's a lot of work to be done. Therefore, the sooner the plan is built and a consensus is reached between the stakeholders, the better it will be for Malaysia. So I want again to take a step back and a bit talk about what is needed here, right? Sometimes a lot of focus goes into the means, but it's possible to lose sight of the end game. What will the new era of hyperconnectivity and or let's call it perhaps the metaverse require? What type of infrastructure it will require? Let's reflect about that for a minute. Ibrahim, for you and I to have an effective video conference, we will need a connection that operates at roughly 70 milliseconds of latency. I mean, I don't want to confuse people with a lot of technical detail, but I want to also mention this so that we understand what we're talking about. Now, we don't have this level of performance everywhere. We certainly don't have this level of performance everywhere in Malaysia. I mean, during the pandemic, most of us worked from homes. So we have all experienced that some of our colleagues were having issues during the video conferences. So it's difficult to say that video conferencing experience have been perfected. To perfect it, we require a 70 millisecond latency connection. To have an effective cloud gaming experience, you need roughly 35 milliseconds. So this is double, or let's say half of the latency that you need for video conferencing. In order to get a satisfactory virtual reality, augmented reality, metaverse experience, this is based on Meta. This is based on what Meta indicated in a recent study. You need to get to 5 to 10 milliseconds. So we need a better latency performance by at least 10 times than we need today for video conferencing. This is a lot of work to get the networks ready. So just rolling out 5G, just saying that I have 5G enabled here and there, doesn't give us what we need to fully functioning augmented reality, virtual reality, metaverse experience. So we need to keep this in mind, and we need to make our investment plans with that goal in mind if you want to participate in the metaverse and the economy that will be unlocked by sooner rather than later.
We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Alper Tuken of Comscore. Welcome back. This is, of course, Notepad. On the line with me is Dr. Alper Tuken, the Senior Vice President and Service Provider of Asia Pacific and of Europe, Middle East and Africa of Comscope. Dr. Alper, we've touched a little bit on the importance of it and some of the risk factors. I want to ask you a little bit more about how important it is for us to ensure equitable digital development and internet accessibility for everyone, especially in more rural areas or suburban areas and communities.
Well, Ibrahim, let me answer that with a question back. How important was it to have schools in rural areas at the beginning of 20th century? How important was it to have roads in rural areas? How important was it to have railways? I mean, these things made all the difference for us throughout 20th century. And having that connectivity, giving people equitable access to information, will make all the difference in 21st century. For me, it's fundamental. And I know it's difficult, right? To bring fiber, to bring 5G connection to rural areas, in many cases, doesn't have a viable business case. The revenue opportunity in many cases will not justify the investment required. But you could have said the same for building schools, for building roads to remote areas and villages. If we understand that, on the long term, our competitiveness, our development, the development opportunities we give to individuals in our nations will heavily depend on their access and their level of connectedness, then the question becomes a different one. We don't anymore ask whether it is important or not, whether there is a business case or not. We start asking, how do we achieve that? Because clearly it's very important. So I think over the next decade, we will see across the globe, and we're already seeing this, a big infrastructure build programs, and governments will step up in many cases to support that. I mean, you see this already in a number of countries, like United States is doing the Rural Development Fund. Europe is supporting in certain markets. Australia is starting the next stage of build. China has already developed quite a lot. They're also implementing. India is rolling out fiber aggressively. So the next decade will be very much about bringing connectivity to everyone. And I think it's going to be fundamental for competitiveness of nations.
And final question to you, Dr. Alper, is actually quite a critical one, if you ask me. Based on what we have discussed, the outlook on the next phase of Malaysia's digitalization is actually quite important. Why must strategic infrastructural investment support such great programs and such growth?
Well, for everything we discussed, Malaysia's longer-term competitiveness will depend on it, Ibrahim, from my perspective. Malaysia will soon become a 35 million nation. The median age is 30, which is a fantastic demographic data. Very young, very dynamic population. So if you want to build a successful future for this young, thriving population, we will need the connectivity. We will need to give them the opportunity to unleash the potential, whether it's for education, whether it's for healthcare, whether it's finance, whether it's for manufacturing, even agriculture. All of these industries will require high functioning, high performing, hyper connectivity infrastructure in order to remain competitive. So I do think that for any nation, but particularly for nations that are as young as Malaysia, this is a strategic domain, and it does require a strategic lens approaching to it. And I'm pleased to see that Malaysia is approaching it that way, both from an infrastructure perspective as well as from a more applications layer, metaverse perspective. 5G will be very important, but fiberization will also be very important in order to get to the necessary level of infrastructure that will enable the type of services we talk about.
Thank you very much, Dr. Alper, for sharing your thoughts. That was Dr. Alper Tukan, the Senior Vice President at CommScope talking about the 5G, 4G network integration and perhaps some of the risks and opportunities involved. You can learn more from Dr. Albert. You can just head on to CommScope and find out more resources there. In the meantime, you can also look for all these kind of interviews on our show here, not just on Notepad, but of course on Niaga Awani as well as the week ahead. But for now, that's it for this show. Catch you in the next one.